Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior, whom we worship today, dear fellow redeemed. Last week we mentioned that we wanted to make this month, November, a month of thanksgiving. Our text this morning does that for us in a remarkable way. The Apostle Paul wrote these letters, these words to Timothy when he was imprisoned in Rome. And he felt that his life of service to the Lord Jesus would soon come to an end. And even though he was in prison, and even though he felt that he would soon die for his faith in Christ, he wasn't angry. He wasn't bitter. His heart was filled with gratitude. And to the Lord, he then wrote, I thank God, whom I serve. And that's our thought for this morning's worship service. The second letter of Timothy is an intensely personal letter from an experienced war veteran of many spiritual battles to a young, inexperienced pastor. But these words of our text and of this letter also apply very remarkably to congregations gathered together on a Sunday morning to worship their Lord and their Savior. And so our theme this morning is, on this day of worship, first of all, thank the Lord for your fellow believers. In prison, Paul had a lot of time to think, to meditate, to pray. And as memories washed over his mind, he was filled with thanksgiving and gratitude for other believers, especially thinking about Timothy. And so he writes, I thank God as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Paul is thankful for that close relationship that he had with this young pastor, even though they now are many, many miles apart. So do we often enough thank God for each other, for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here at Peace Through Christ? We're a family. A family as much as, if not more so, than blood family. Because we're a family that is bound in the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Our family is bound in the one confession of Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. God created family, husband and wife, mother, father, and children. But God also created the spiritual family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we pray for each other? Do you members pray for other members and for me as your pastor? Do I spend enough time in my daily life to pray for you as members of this congregation? On this day of worship toward God, you need to remember to thank God for each other. For these are God's gifts of each other. What kind of gifts? The gift of encouragement, the gift of comfort. Paul writes, "Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." Paul cannot help but remember the tears that Timothy shed, probably the last time he saw Paul and Paul left. And he is desirous to see him again, to receive that encouragement and comfort from him. And he will be then filled with joy. So do we work at that? Giving each other encouragement and comfort? Not only this morning when we see each other at church after church, but during the week, call one another, text one another, email one another, to encourage one another. So we see, when we see each other, we're excited to see each other. We want to see each other. We rejoice in seeing each other because we're receiving comfort and encouragement from one another. We need that encouragement. We need that comfort as a gift from God. Paul also writes that he thanks God when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him the law of God, taught him the gospel of the Old Testament, the promised Messiah who is to come. He learned the Old Testament scriptures. And how do we know that? Because Paul tells us. In chapter 3, verse 15 of this letter, he said that from infancy, you, Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures. From infancy, from a little baby, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had an Old Testament faith, which looked to the coming Messiah. And that became a New Testament faith when Paul met Timothy in Lystra and told him about Jesus, the Christ. So, this morning, let us thank God for the parents and the grandparents who not only baptize their children, but then teach them the Word of God as well. The parents and grandparents who bring their children to church and to Sunday school. The parents and grandparents who take their children up in their laps and tell them about God's love in Christ and how Jesus lived a perfect life and died a death upon the cross and rose from the dead to give them eternal life and salvation and forgiveness. The parents that believe the most important thing their child can have in life is Jesus. Not just for a Sunday morning thing, but that their whole life is wrapped around Jesus as their Lord and their Savior day by day. Thank God for the congregation that's concerned about Christian education, that has Sunday school and vacation Bible school for three-year-olds and Bible study up to the oldest of our members. So as we worship this morning, let's thank God for each other. Gifts to each other. Gifts from God. As we worship this morning, Paul also says we need to fan the flame of our gifts. Timothy had more than just the gift of faith. He had the gift of being a pastor, a missionary, the gift of teaching, the gift of shepherding souls. And so Paul encourages him, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." One of the things that can cripple us as a congregation in serving our Lord is a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity. Paul urges Timothy to stir up the gift of God. Literally, it reads, to fan into flame the gift of God. The picture there is of a person with a bellows blowing on the embers of a fire to make it flame brightly. Are you using your gifts? Or are they laying there smoldering, flickering, almost gone out because of lack of oxygen? The lack of use. Fan that flame. Put into action. And we do that by making use of the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacraments. The more we hear and say the word of God, the more we'll be moved to use the gifts that God has given to us. As the Holy Spirit works in us, he provides for us the courage and the strength to be able to stand and do that, even in the face of all kinds of odds, and the loving sacrifice to be able to serve one another as Jesus served us. Have you been afraid to use your gift? Have you been fearful to put into practice the spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon you? Paul says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, a spirit of cowardice, a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of love, a spirit of courage, a spirit of power, and of a sound mind. What an encouragement that is to the pastor who faces a daily grind of spiritual, emotional, and physical problems, not only in his members, but in himself. And the temptations that come day by day by day, and facing those overwhelming trials and tribulations and troubles of life. What an encouragement for the pastor and teacher who thinks about how he's going to present the Bible in sermons and in Bible class to a people who's sitting out there listening and willing to hear, but is often distracted and also absorbed by the things of this world. What an encouragement for every child of God, for every Christian congregation who face the daily struggles of their own temptations, of their own trials, of their own troubles, of this world, their own flesh, and of our archenemy, Satan himself. Now, we must guard against false self-confidence. But we need to work in God's kingdom, not with a spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage, a spirit of love, a spirit of power that the Lord gives to us. May the Lord move each of us to fan into flames that gift that God has bestowed upon us. And if we do that, just imagine how much we could accomplish here at Peace Through Christ. Speaking about Jesus to those whom we meet at work, at home, grocery store, library, post office, school, wherever. Being involved with spiritual outreach on a daily basis, looking for and taking advantage of all those opportunities that the Lord lays in front of us when we meet someone on the street. Being involved in speaking to them, welcoming visitors in our church with a loving handshake and a warm smile, praying for our preschool endeavor, attending Bible class, being active voting members or officers of the church, taking part in our Hannah's Helping Hands meetings, and also helping out with the endeavors of the ladies of the congregation, singing in choir, counseling our youth, helping and putting on seminars, giving our first fruit offerings, praying fervently for each other and for myself. And that's just the short list. And thirdly, on this day of worship, don't be ashamed of your ministry. This time I'm going to ask you to open up your bulletin and take out the insert and read together with me verses 8 through 12 of our sermon text. Verses 8 through 12. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Paul is saying, Timothy, don't be ashamed of this gospel message, this gospel testimony. Don't be ashamed of me as a prisoner for Christ. Instead, Timothy, join me. Join me in suffering for Jesus' sake. Paul wrote to the Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." The gospel is the power that saved us who had no power to save ourselves. The gospel is that power that destroys death and brings to us life and salvation. The power is the work of our Savior done for us, not our work done for him. It's the undeserved love of God that sent his Son into this world, and he had mercy on us and said, "I will send my Son to take your place, to live that life of obedient love that you couldn't live, and to die upon the cross and be damned for your sins, your failings, your faults, and to rise again to assure you of a resurrection to everlasting life." How does Luther put it in the meaning to the second article of the Apostles' Creed? He writes, "He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death." So with the hymn writer, we need to say, ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend? No. When I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. It is not a shame to lose one's life, to spend it in service to the Lord. It is a shame to spend one's life, and that is to lose it in doing everything else. And amazingly, the Lord says to Paul that this all was planned before time began. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Even before Adam and Eve fell into sin and brought death into this world, God already planned to send his Son to take our place, to die for us. And he also then chose us individually as the elect of God to be here this morning to hear his word, to be encouraged and comforted by this gospel message that's found only in the gospel. How can we know about Jesus Christ if we don't know the gospel? How can we know God loved us and sent his Son to die for us if we don't know the gospel? And how can we believe that message unless the gospel first creates faith in our hearts and the hearts of our children? On this day of worship, you and I, members, old and young, don't be ashamed of your ministry, of your service for Christ. But, and there's always a but, it won't be easy. We may face ridicule when our beliefs don't match the politically correct society that we live in. We may be made to feel all alone when we stand up for such morals as chastity and abstinence, or such teachings as creation, men and women marriage, or the sanctity of the unborn baby in the womb. We may feel inadequate when we fight the temptations and trials of life and feel overwhelmed by the problems that appear come upon us. But remember, the real power is ours. The real inadequate ones are the ones who conform to whatever society dictates to them. And the real lonely ones are the ones who are without Christ, and therefore without God, and therefore without hope in this world. And finally, Paul says we should not be ashamed because we know whom we have believed and are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed to him until that day. We know who Jesus is, He is the God-man, Savior of the world. We know what he's done for us. He suffered and died for us to pay for the sins of all of mankind. And we have committed that to our Lord and Savior. Committed our bodies, our lives, our entire future, our entire salvation to Jesus. That word commit in our text is a very important one. It means to entrust something precious to another person for safekeeping on solemn oath. We commit our faith, our life, our future into Jesus. Is he trustworthy? Is our salvation assured? Is our eternal life secure? We'll not be disappointed on Judgment Day. What we now possess by faith in Jesus Christ, he'll give to us, perfect and complete in reality on the last day. The Lord will deliver what he has promised, life and immortality. So on this day of worship and throughout our lives, may we thank God. Thank God, first and foremost, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the gift of each other as fellow believers in Christ, for the ability to fan that flame through the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember to not be ashamed, because whatever we do for the Lord will not be in vain. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.